Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. In the United States, African Americans are 6 times more likely to be incarcerated than whites. There are few places on the planet where such a racial disparity is seen, but in Australia, Indigenous communities are 24 times more likely to be imprisoned than non-Indigenous people, according to a report released this week. In Western Australia, where Aboriginal communities are clustered, that disparity rises to a whopping 52 times. The problem is also exacerbated among Indigenous youth. Nearly 60% of young people imprisoned in Australia are Indigenous. On the housing front, the Australian government has been waging an all-out war against Aboriginal communities, having proposed the closure of 150 communities in Western Australia. Even the United Nations' Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues has added its voice to those opposing the move. Prime Minister Tony Abbott has taken a hardline position on funding services for those communities, saying it's not the job of the taxpayers to subsidize lifestyle choices. Around the world, actions have sprung up in solidarity with Australia's Indigenous communities as part of a global awareness campaign. In Los Angeles, where this program is based, Indigenous activists from Australia will be rallying this afternoon at Echo Park. One of them is my guest, Ryan Whitewolf, an activist and a musician. Welcome to Uprising, Ryan.
Good afternoon, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, can you share a little bit about your own background? You're considered Indigenous from your father's side?
Yeah. Well, since 6 weeks old, I was raised by an Indigenous man of Australia. And so that was a pretty amazing journey, you know. So in honours and respects, like, I feel like a lot of my duty is to help the Indigenous, and especially the youth. And because I was fostered by an Indigenous man since 6 weeks, and they accept me as a Darug man, so
Darug?
Darug, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the name of the specific community?
Specific tribe over in Blue Mountains, near Sydney.
Let's turn to the major issues facing Indigenous communities in Australia. Like Native Americans, there, of course, has been a long history of oppression from the time of white settlers arriving to the shores of your country, of course. And now, is it very clear that under Prime Minister Tony Abbott, the assaults on Indigenous communities have simply escalated?
Well, honestly, like, the assaults have escalated, but I also feel that Tony Abbott just does it more blatantly, like, in front of the picture as well. It's less subtle. But at the same time, a lot of community, it's initiating a lot of community to create an evolution, to create a revolution, which creates a lot of harmony at the same time. Like, a lot of, like, all...
People are uniting.
Yeah, people are uniting, exactly. People are uniting and helping out, going into the Indigenous communities, learning songs, and it's beautiful to see the cultures actually harmonising.
What does the proposed closure of 150 communities in Western Australia mean? Are these small towns? Are they communities that house only Aboriginal people? And where would they go if these were closed?
The communities, they house only Indigenous people, except for the caseworkers that work there. They would have to go to neighbouring communities, mainly like Western communities, modern communities. Mm-hmm. Though out of the 150 closures, there's 12,000 Indigenous that would have to be moved. Mm. And
Tony Abbott thinks it's a lifestyle choice for them to live there?
Australia's got like two worlds going on, honestly. There's like the Indigenous world where, you know, the dream time and all the stories are going on, and then there's a modern day society, and Tony Abbott definitely wants the Indigenous to integrate within the schooling system and within the employment within modern day society. Though the Indigenous, I feel, just have to be empowered in their culture. The Indigenous just have to be empowered in the sense of what they bring, because they've been there for 40,000 years, you know, and to be the people of this earth, and for that to be nurtured, for that to be empowered, be beautiful.
So are there corporate interests at work? Is the land that the communities are on being slated for other kinds of use?
There's definitely a possibility for that, because it's happened in the past, but there's no evidence for the future. But on a personal note, I feel so.
And what sort of interests might there? Are there mining interests?
There's a lot of mining interests. Australia's rich in its soil. It's got like gold. It's got a...
And what are the specific service cuts by the government that have already impacted Indigenous communities in Australia?
Health services, employment services, water services, all of them.
And so are they doing these cuts, claiming that this is money that they need to save? And how much money is it really saving?
Well, what's happened is Tony Abbott's said no to giving any more money to the Western Premier, Colin Barnett, and that's $90 million over 3 years. So now they're cutting that, and then the Western Premier's got to make up that money. So now they're proposing the closure of all the indigenous communities.
$90 million over 3 years is not that much.
Mm.
But, of course, the services that it provides is quite a bit.
Yeah, the service it provides is quite a bit. But I also feel that there's got to be an evolution within, like, creating a program that's sustainable for the indigenous communities. Like, the indigenous are so empowered when they're working off the land. And for programs to be worked in that sense, for us to reflect upon that, that would be amazing.
Now, what about this report that was just released this week on incarceration rates in Australia? It sounds incredible. I mean, I couldn't believe when I was reading. Across the entire country, 24 times, Indigenous people are 24 times more likely to be incarcerated than non-Indigenous. And, I mean, that's far, far worse than the black-white disparity here in the United States.
Yeah, well, all I have to say on that is that I've seen it personally.
Can you describe it? Give us some examples.
Oh, well, just being out in the desert, in the, like, rural communities, you see a lot of polarity. You see, like, two different worlds. You see the indigenous world and the modern-day Western man world. And it just needs to be brought back in harmony. All the borders need to be taken away. Like, it's just like we're all the same people.
So are indigenous people particularly profiled by police, targeted for arrest by police, over-policed?
A lot so, yeah. Definitely in the rural community aspect.
And do they see the sort of brutality that, for example, we've been seeing here against African Americans?
Yeah, there's a similar trait going on. Mm-hmm. But it's for all of us to learn from. Like, you know, we all just got to, like, put down our perception between black and white, really. You know?
How are young Indigenous people in particular faring? There's been new reports showing that suicide rates among Indigenous communities has increased, but it's also impacted young Indigenous people who are, some of them, who are killing themselves.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely been a rise within the emotional conflict of Indigenous, and it's just reflecting all on what's happening with society, integrating with the Indigenous. But
are there lack of economic opportunities for young people? Do they have a hard time finding jobs?
Lack of economic, there are, in a sense. There are a lot of programs, though, like supporting, like, the Indigenous, like, empowerment, the Indigenous youth empowerment, like AIM, Australian Indigenous, like, mentoring experience, and also Desert P, which, like, go out and do music videos and, like...
So there are some programs that are specifically aimed, but Abbott is trying to dismantle some of them.
Yeah, I don't know if Abbott's trying to dismantle any of them, but except for, like, the primal services. Like,
right. What about ordinary Australians, progressive organizations, non-Indigenous Australians? What sort of support is there? John Pilger, who is Australian, but I believe lives in the UK now, wrote a very important op-ed in or article in the Guardian newspaper about this. Do activists and journalists like him cover these issues?
Yeah, in a sense, yeah, a lot. There's like a documentary called Utopia that covers a lot of these issues. But there's also a lot of people, like, integrating from all society, like, you know, like, just as AIM and all these different projects that, like, they're coming into communities and showing their support. Mm-hmm. See, that's what it's initiating. All of this uprises initiating a change for us to all come together and unite in a way.
And tell us about the global campaign that you're part of to raise awareness of the forced closures of the Indigenous communities, the 150 communities in Western Australia. Where else have you traveled to in addition to Los Angeles to raise this issue? What sort of response have you had?
Well, the honest truth is that, like, I'm mainly just an advocate for the youth, advocate for foster youth and SOS Black Australia. The organisation, they contacted me once they knew that I was touring in America.
Mm.
So my position with them is just to speak truth on what I feel that needs to happen with the youth.
So you are a performer. You're going to be performing at a rally happening in Los Angeles this afternoon at 1 p.m. at Echo Park Lake on the northwest corner this afternoon for our Southern California audience. I'm wondering if you can give us a preview of your music for our audience.
I'd love to.
And my guest, Ryan Whitewolf, pulling out his guitar right now.
Thank you.
So there was a boy named with a heart of steel, pretty open and dance he made you feel. Breaking silence when he sung with the elder that he brung. He's raised in dinners, like breaking through the predator soul. He was born half black and white, that the schools like to set him, so he started to fight. Breaking blame, breaking chains, breaking side of shame. For the walk, he uncovered the songs of his father's soul. Put down his fist and something bigger exists. It's time to live prophecy, freedom over democracy. His heart's the sound he started to live, and the songs, the melodies they started to breathe. Is there anybody out there to look past the borders that we made? For the rhythms of nature, take a step and finally breathe.
Ryan White Wolf, thank you so much for that small preview of the performance that you're going to be giving this afternoon, the event for our Southern California audience happening at 1 p.m. at Echo Park Lake. Ryan, do you see your music as part of your activism?
Definitely.
Well, I want to wish you the best of luck, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so
and
much.
And give out the website that you mentioned again, and any place that people can find your music as well.
Just contact me on Facebook or Bandcamp under Ryan White Wolf, facebook.com/RyanWhiteWolf.
Thank you so much, and we'll post that information to our website at uprisingwithsonali.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Ryan White Wolf is an activist and musician, and we've been talking about issues facing Australia's Indigenous communities.